And then he says, verse 30, Easter, but God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. And he starts quoting the Bible. He says, it's written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I've begotten you. And then Paul says, because he just said something really hard for people to hear. And in verse 34, he says, as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, in other words, to not die and rot again, he spoke in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. God promised the Messiah. He says in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. David wrote that psalm. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. But Paul points out in verse 36, well, David, after he'd served the purposes of God in his own generation, he died and he was laid with his fathers and he saw corruption. He's worm food. He's in the grave turning into a skeleton. But the one that God raised up, he didn't see corruption. That psalm that says, you won't let your Holy One see corruption, that's Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Before all these processes started ripping things apart, Jesus rose from the dead. He was seen. The grave was empty. These Bible verses are true. It's really happening. That's what he's telling people in church on that day, in temple, right? In the synagogue. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, and this verse 38, this is the thing. Do you know verse 38 by memory? Do you know at least the principle, the idea? Through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. So do you know the Ten Commandments? They're not going to save you. So you know you shouldn't kill, probably, well, I presume maybe none of you in here have killed somebody. And you might have. You couldn't know people's secrets. Don't steal, right? Don't lie. Never lie. If you ever lie once, you broke the commandment, death penalty. And so then everybody stops making eye contact with me when I preach this stuff, you know? Paul says the stuff that the law can't save you from, because you know what you're like, Jesus does save you from. He died for all of our sin. So if you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, I wish I had the portrait of Dorian Gray to cover all my sins. That big ugly painting over there with all the sins on the painting. So the man lived forever. Do you know the story, A Portrait of Dorian Gray? And I look in the mirror and I go, I know what that guy's like. My wife looks at me. And she goes, I know what you're like, right? You can't escape it. You have someone living really close to you, they get to see it about you, you know? We know what we're like. And Paul's saying, Jesus, for everyone who believes, is the way that we are freed. And then he says this in verse 40, beware therefore, lest what's said in the prophets should come about. And here's what it said in the prophets. Look, you scoffers, and be astounded and perish. For I am doing a work in your days. A work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. And there's Paul's Easter sermon. He's talking about forgiveness for the one who believes. And perishing for scoffers who will not believe. Are you giving this gospel, church? When people ask you, so what's it all about? Because it is so unfashionable and uncomfortable to have to say, forgiveness of sins because you're a sinner. For people who believe, forgiveness of sins because we're all sinners. So the whole thing, like, what are you calling me a sinner for? Well, you don't know me, right? And you have to stand up as a Christian and go, yeah, but I know me. I mean, we all know ourselves. We're sinners and we need forgiven. But the bad news is scoffers will be astounded and perish. So scoffers are, I write, right? That's scoffing? Is that a fair definition? Scoffers are like, you know, when we walked into the SU group off of the hallway at Alva Academy, and the three girls walking by go, "Ah, are you going to the religious club?" And the girl who's going in goes, "Yeah, you should come in." She stands up in front of her friends. She's shy. She doesn't know a lot of the stuff. But she comes there because the people treat her right, because she hears stories that are true, and there's juice and biscuits, right? But also, like, her friends who say, "What are you doing there?" She's not embarrassed, because it's normal people talking about plain things. And she can take her friends and go, "Yeah, I'm going." But the scoffers are the, "Why would you go in there? It's weird." That's just how it goes. So it's impossible to believe when that's the reaction to it. And the world has people spring-loaded to be scoffers. Like all the Christians have lead in their basement and they're trying to turn it to gold, right? Like, "Oh, I just whistle and I'm safe in the dark," you know? I mean, that's like the idea of the world about you, Christians. You know it. You get the vibe off people. I need scientific evidence. I don't believe any of that. I believe science, which is the most utter pile of rubbish that there ever was, because all there is evidence and interpretation. Christians have science, and atheists have science. It's not faith versus science. It's atheism versus faith. Or theism, if you want to. Atheism, theism. So Paul, he puts it out there. He says, "Look, the deal is this. Your sins are forgiven. Take the deal." And the people who don't get the deal laugh at it and go, "That's not a deal. That's not a real thing. I don't believe it." And that's all that's going on in this whole world. So you want to tell me about your Christian ethics, and you think Christians ought to do this and that and that and that. And you have a list, and you have a rating in movies, and you won't see something that is a particular rating because Christians don't watch those movies. We only watch these movies, right? And you want to prescribe for other people who are not yet, and then there's these movies. That's not what Scripture's teaching. You may personally, out of your conviction, make a decision and say, "I believe the Lord is leading me to not feed myself with these ideas. I keep this bar. I don't want to get all that in my head. This is what I do." That's acceptable, and we each answer to God for our conscience. And if he says, "You really need to watch that?" it's between you and him. Now, if your minister came in and he was like, "I was watching stuff," and you'd be like, "Wow, that doesn't sound..." Do you actually celebrate that stuff? Are you into all the violence and the sexy? Because I don't know if the person up at the front is supposed to, like, champion those things. Shouldn't you be about God's stuff? You have a right to judge the tree by the fruit that comes out of it and decide, is that person walking with the Lord? I think that's acceptable. But Paul is saying, here's the deal. All sin forgiven, and people who laugh at it don't get the deal, because they don't believe it's the deal, because they won't enter in, because they don't love the Lord, because they come to know him and say, "God, please help me. This is so hard." That's the whole deal. But we, when we're Christians and we're out there in the world, do we share that message?